This is the third Thumbcast. I'm Eric, and with us are also Spaff and Ben.
Hi, man.
Hi.
Today is the last day of E3. It's only midday, 1 o'clock lunchtime around there, but nothing really exciting as we expected to happen, really. So we're going to kind of, I guess, round up the stuff that's happened between this podcast and the last one. We've posted our podcasts, and we've had a bit of feedback from everyone. And it seems the main bit of feedback was from a fan of ours. I mean, Baconian. Baconian, we love you. We've always loved you. And I believe your suggestion was more funny accents and more sound effects. So we have a message for you, and that is...
Shut up! Stop it! Discipline!
And also, though, have you ever noticed how Marek, would you care to do an impression of this?
Shut up!
Shut up!
Shut up!
There's no difference.
I'm Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Oh, I don't have that soundbite.
That's disappointing.
I thought that was used by...
Shut up.
Anyway... We're going to use our own forums to find some subjects to talk about. So the top story on our forums right now is the new Spore video.
Yes.
I believe, Marek.
Yes.
You wish to talk about that.
There was a press event prior to E3, apparently. It was held by or hosted by Wired for some reason. Will Wright guest edited the last issue of Wired, which was all about video games. So he was showing Spore to, I guess, people that were invited by Wired. And there's a video of it on the internet, whatever, on Joystick, I think. And he actually got Robin Williams to demo the creature editor to everyone, which was...
Robin Williams?
Yes, the actor.
Not Robbie Williams.
Not Robbie Williams. No.
Good.
But, is Robbie Williams quite... Is he a gamer?
He is a gamer. He is actually quite a hardcore gamer. He likes a lot of FPS games. He likes Battlefield a lot. He plays a lot of pretty hardcore games. And he is at E3 as an attendee every year. A couple of years ago, I was at E3 and I almost bumped into him, basically. So that's cool. He really likes games.
That's good.
So he did the introduction of Spore.
Yeah. And he started.
To who?
I don't know who was in the audience, actually. I guess press. He just made a creature. That was all he did. He spent 10 minutes just making a weird creature. Like, he was making jokes all the time, like, here's a creature that can, whatever. He was creating weird creatures. One with two assholes and whatever. It was kind of funny.
What's the deal with, I'm ashamed to admit, I haven't really kept up with Spore too much. I know the basis of it, but I don't, you know, what's the real excitement? What are you looking forward to, Marek, in terms of, is it just a creature creation, or?
What excites me most is the end game sort of stage, where you can fly around in your UFO, and you can just go through space and fuck around with things. And that seems really appealing to me, because I really like... for instance, in SimCity, I really like creating parks and stuff. I don't really like the management part of the game, but I really like creating things and making layouts and stuff. So this game is actually entirely about that. So I'm looking
forward. Right, but you're also a huge Civilization fan, right?
That's true. Yes.
So this has huge elements of that.
I guess so, but it's not what appeals to me in Spore. What really appeals to me is the end game, it is not just a sandbox, really, because there's also missions you have to complete, and that is something that has only been demonstrated now at E3. You actually get, like, missions from civilizations in space that are, you know, under attack or whatever, and you have to help them, or you go to a planet and you piss off some guys, and you might have started a war with an intergalactic civilization. So that's really cool. There's
Are the missions created on the fly, or are they scripted?
I don't know how they're generated. I assume they're generated because everything in the game is generated.
You refer to an end game. So is there like a time limit within which you play the game, or is it?
No, the idea is that all the phases that you see in Spore from the micro level to the macro level, basically, those are all sort of training phases for the big sandbox game at the end, where you can go through space and do everything. So
right, but they're more than that, though. I mean, they're different games contained within a game, right? I mean,
yeah. But if you unlock them one phase at a time, and at the end, they are all available to you. So
okay,
that's kind of
cool. You can just go back and play the beginning again.
Exactly. Or you can, if I understand it correctly, you can when you have achieved all the powers that you can get, all the godly powers, you can actually go back and change things at the microscopic level, or, you know, just play all those levels at the same time, really. Because there's, like, one single game has, like, a million stars or something. There are more stars in the game than you can ever really check out on your own. So that's really cool.
Yeah, it is.
Have there been a release date or anything, or is it, you know, well, not a date, but they said, hey, it's coming out this year.
It's coming out next year, and Will Wright said that it's coming out at the beginning of the fiscal year of 2007 for EA, so that's going to be like April or whatever, April 2007.
Wow, too long.
Yeah.
That's sad.
But apparently...
Okay, well,
we'll
have that to look forward to.
Yeah, they've got a fairly large team working on it now, I guess 70 people, which... It started out with a skeleton crew of like 15 or 20 people, so they're really scaling up now. So it's really in full production, which is kind of
cool. I'm hoping we might get some more Spore info from E3, because Doug, I think, got a demonstration from Will Wright.
Yeah, that sneaky bit.
Yeah. So Will Wright demoed against him somehow, I guess during a demo, obviously. So that should be pretty exciting.
Well, the second biggest topic at the moment, or the second newest topic up there, is the new Smash Brothers game, which was a new game that was announced between last time we recorded and now, which was, they saved it for a separate announcement to the conference, and the creator and Miyamoto came up and they announced it. So have you guys seen anything from that?
Yeah,
I have seen the trailer.
So I guess the biggest news from that, the people that like Smash Brothers are always huge fans of it, I find. And then there are a lot of people who just don't even know it exists or don't really care.
Yeah, it's really weird because it doesn't, it's one of those, it's kind of an out left kind of fighting game. It's not like, it's, even though there's a 2D view to it, it's not a 2D fighter in a traditional sense. It's more of a multiplayer experience. But it's not like some of the other multiplayer experiences from Nintendo, like Mario Kart or Mario.
But it is still a party game. It does still have that essence of you can win, even though you've
sucked. Yeah, it's obviously
almost.
Well, that's the thing, you know. It's actually got, there's a lot of depth there, and even though it's a party game, it's not so forgiving on beginners. You know, other party games like Mario Kart, as I was about to say, you know, it doesn't matter how good you get, you can always get gayed in it. You know, there's always that kind of element of it's just, doesn't matter what you do, you'll get
blue shell
at some point, and you have to be really, really good to get so far ahead that doesn't affect you anymore. So,
but there's a blue shell in Smash Bros. It doesn't do quite the same.
No, and if you're really skilled at that game, there's an ocean between yourself and anyone who just picks it up. You can pick it up and play. You won't be very good at it straight away.
So for those that don't know, it's like a big, you know, fuck off fighting game. I'm sure everyone knows, but it has like all the Nintendo characters and all the games ever, basically.
Yeah.
But this new version, which is the third ever version, the first one on N64 and then second on GameCube, that has hilariously included Solid Snake from Metal Gear Solid, and he has
his ability
special maneuver.
Apparently. To sit in a box, you know.
Yeah, he can hide in a box. Presumably that's a block maneuver. I don't know. Maybe it's not.
I hope so.
He had a good, if you watch the trailer, he has a really good intro, which is, I don't know why they did that. It's kind of, like, takes the piss out of
He just comes out of his box like, with this kind of look on his face, like, rape time. You're about to get destroyed.
But it also
you
has...
You know the thing about, oh, sorry.
It also has Wario, which is good because I always missed Wario. He's one of my favorites. And he has some kind of epic fart attack, which is terrible. And Nintendog seem to feature in the game also.
But, I think that's just a joke.
I think, I know, well, the Pokemon, when they're in the game, they unleash and there are various attacks that kind of take over the screen so you can't see, or they blow up everyone that touches it. And it looks like that might be an attack where it just kind of blocks the screen. I don't know.
You know, Super Smash Bros. Has always struck me as basically a fan game, except it's made by a large company with a big budget. It's like, here are these random characters, let's get them to fight together, and now there's even Solid Snake from a totally different company is included.
Right, right.
And there's rumors
said,
that...
Oh yeah, carry on.
Yeah. There's also rumors that after the game is released, there will be updates available, and other characters will become playable.
Yeah, that's actually something... Yeah, that's something I noticed on the... It was on the Japanese page. They've got a... There's like this forum where you can say which characters you'd like to see in the game. So yeah, there's every chance that, you know, if you write there, you know, apparently there's loads of Mega Man suggestions in there, so it's likely that Mega Man might be in the game if they actually take it to heart. But you know, like Max said, it's such a fan favorite that, you know, it was really surprising Nintendo didn't mention it in the conference, but now they have and everyone knows what the deal is, it's one of the games I'm most excited about. And not just because of the multiplayer, but it's got so many unlockables in there. I think it's one of those games that even though you play it with many people, you can spend a year on it just trying to unlock all the things that you can get, all the cups available
right
in there. It's got...
There's definitely people still... I still see posts of people like, hey, I just unlocked something.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
1,000 hours play.
Yeah.
So let's go to the next topic on the forum, which is Microsoft basically saying for the price of a PS3, you can get our console and a Wii. And suddenly they seem to be really supportive of Nintendo. What's your take on that?
So is that
what
Peter
are they doing?
Moore? Is that Peter Moore?
Yeah.
Right, well, I think it's just the fact that Microsoft are versus Sony, and Nintendo are like a side thing. It's like they're not even against, you know, it's not like you're going to have a Wii or a 360 or a Wii or a PlayStation 2, but you are going to have a 360 or a PlayStation 3. Like,
right.
I guess initially, is it for the hardcore? Like, because that's a huge investment.
Yeah.
The reason why Microsoft is going against Sony and not Nintendo is not just because of, you know, what these companies are doing, but what Microsoft is doing, because the strategy behind Xbox is to have this, you know, media center thing. It allows Microsoft to do all these things with online connectivity and whatever, and to have a stake in the format wars, like the HD DVD. And they want Sony to lose in the format wars and in the multimedia stuff that they want to have.
Right. Those products are so similar, and Nintendo is so not.
Yeah.
It's not going with the same goals. So
Nintendo is not competing with them, basically.
We spoke about earlier, the three of us, I know, the whole kind of Sony talking about introducing their controller and the gyroscopic capabilities of it. You know, a lot of people obviously...
Six waves of freedom or motion or whatever.
Yeah, a lot of people obviously, you know, said, well, they're copying Nintendo, people up in arms about it. But I think really that was the kind of first, you know, strike, if you will, from Sony at Microsoft, if anything, you know, because it didn't really affect Nintendo. It's not the same technology. It hasn't got the same capabilities. It's not as full and as enriching as the Wii controller. So really, it was more of a kind of trying to undermine Microsoft and say, hey, look, of the three of us, you're the only ones that don't have this technology now. And that could affect third-party support, how, you know, developers, when they're choosing to make games for the platforms, you know, they might not pay as much attention to the Microsoft ones.
I doubt that's the reason. I think it's purely a perception thing, because apparently the Warhawk developers only got access to this new technology 2 weeks before the presentation.
Yeah. There's definitely a perception there as well. It's just in the public eye, you know, people will see that the PS3 has this technology and so does Nintendo.
I don't think it will work, by the way.
No.
But yeah. There's no real strategy behind it. Like, let's get lots of games that use this this tilt sensor or whatever. No, that's not at all the case.
They're probably just hoping that there'll be a couple of games that utilize it really well.
Yeah.
And that's it.
It's a gimmick. Like, where Nintendo's Wii controller is not, and it's the basis of the platform, it's just like iToy. It's just a gimmick that will be used on, you know, 6 games.
Well, it's not even like...
Ever.
Yeah, it's kind of similar to, ironically, it's just similar to the WarioWare tilt thing on the GBA.
Yeah, it's just the same technology. That was built into the cartridge, though, rather than the console.
Yeah, but it's essentially the same thing. In the same way that was a gimmick for that game, this is...
It's a gimmick. Oh, the other thing that I like from our forums is that Game Life is still a much-loved series of video game reviewing shows.
Are they going to have a show from E3?
Yeah, so I found a picture of them. I think it was on Gaff. Someone, I don't know who met them, found them at E3. They've been sent there by Ziff Media.
All I remember is the big guy had a whole bag of nachos or something in his hand.
Yeah, like, why? I don't know if they've been sent there for a joke, or is it because they're, you know, they're like basically mentally. I don't know. I mean, they're fine, but they're just appalling as well at the same time. And they're at E3, and it's kind of sad. But it also means we will get a Game Life episode, E3 episode, hopefully sometime next week.
Which is
going
to be hilarious.
I really like their ideas, their ideals. I mean, and they do fit with ours. They're like, you know, we want to show people, you know, we're real people playing the games. But they're not real people, though.
Except they're retarded.
They're not, exactly. They want to show real people playing the games, but they aren't real people. They're not... They're, like, different. Each one of them seems to be...
Except for that girl.
Perhaps
there's something wrong with that girl that we don't know
about.
The girl,
I don't know. Yeah, maybe she has a hunchback secretly or something. But it seems like the girl is... And Melissa has submitted her... stuff to them randomly, and is it Jeff, the Xbox guy? I don't know, he always seems to be taking the piss out of them, or maybe he just saw an opportunity, I don't know, but he doesn't seem to be with them.
I wonder if
the core team
guys with them.
I like them. If I met them, you know, I wouldn't be mean. I would hang out with them. I would be nice to them. They have good ideas. It's just when you actually watch what they're doing right now, it's horrible.
Yes, Faf, that was totally a lie, what you just said about not being mean.
I'd like them to do well, so whatever.
So speaking of people with no talent being on video, let's talk about Paris Hilton.
Paris Hilton.
You had something to say about that.
Well, she...
That was a nice bridge, you've got to admit.
Bring her into the podcast the other day, but I forgot, and also it was a boring topic, but that she... It made me laugh that she had a new game. Any game. And she has a new game, and it's she came to announce it today. Apparently, it was very late for the announcement, and she came on stage and she said, "Hi, I'm Paris Hilton, and I'm really excited to have my own game, Diamond Quest." The problem is though, that Paris Hilton's game is actually called Paris Hilton's Jewelry Box. So yeah, I don't know whether
you've heard them.
I don't know, like, that's the thing, like, what? Diamond Quest, I don't know, like, that's not even remotely the same thing. And I thought it was, when I first read that, you remember in the Kentia Hall last year, there was a USB jewelry box?
Yeah.
That you could, it was a physical thing, and you could lock it. Like, you know, it was plugged into USB, and you could only unlock it by having it, I don't know. It was in Kentia Hall. It was one of the brilliant things in Kentia Hall. And for a minute, I thought they got her to sponsor it. But it turns out it's actually by Gameloft, and it's a mobile phone game, which everyone plays, obviously. Everyone plays mobile phone games. So,
Well, going from one mad person to another, there's also Mr. Ken Kutaragi.
Kutaragi?
Yeah, he's a favourite of mine from news updates. He never fails to provide news in some shape or form.
Whatever falls out of his mouth is always terrible.
Yeah, so it's always more ridiculous than just the last thing he said. He continued trying to outdo himself. And he's done it again, because apparently he's made a comment saying that the PS3 is too cheap for the market.
It is too cheap for the market.
Yeah. Damn! Okay.
It's... So, $600, whatever, man, whatever. Ken Kutaragi, what was that thing he said before about 4D?
Oh yeah, he said PS3.
Yeah, that was crazy.
4D, but he didn't really explain what that meant.
Yeah, he also claimed that it would run at 120 frames per second, being 4D. I think it was the PlayStation 3 would not. This was a long time ago though, that it would not need any physical media at all.
Didn't he say it would have a neural net processor?
I believe it may have done.
Yes. He also said it was not a gaming machine. It was not a gaming machine. It was a supercomputer.
Yeah, I mean, the actual quote he made for this price thing was, the example we gave, which is almost as good as Kojima's whole kind of restaurant analysis and food analysis for like the next gen, was, is it not nonsense to compare charge for dinner at the company cafeteria with dinner at a fine restaurant?
Yeah, thanks, Kutaragi. You mad asshole.
Yeah, what the hell? What the fuck does that mean?
My CPU is a neural net processor, a learning computer.
Yeah.
Thanks, Arnie.
Thanks. Thanks, Ken, I was going to say.
We all know it's Arnie, really. So, we were going to try and get Jake or Remo Extremo,
yes.
And it appears that basically Remo Extremo, everyone's a fan of him. We lost him, you guys realize. He no longer is around.
Yeah.
He fucked off. He is now paid money to work on a different website.
Although at some point, there were some people that thought... That,
what a sellout.
Some people thought that Chris was the only person who actually worked on iPhones at some point. Chris and Marek.
Yeah, right.
That's when we all did nothing.
Every article that was written by a ghostwriter, and we just used the name Chris Remo, but then we had to come up with a persona, so we had to...
You know, I used to like Chris Remo when he was still underground, but now he's getting paid to work. Oh no, he's totally sold out.
Yeah. And also, he's taken Jake with him. Damn.
So Jake this year, he was the other person I was going to try and get, because him and Doug are basically the only people from Thumbs who are at E3, and Jake snuck off and is writing updates for Shaq News. So if you actually want to read some Thumb updates, go to shacknews.net or is it .com these days.
They're actually really great previews.
Yeah.
I have to admit.
Yeah, fuck you, Jake.
Yeah, it's because they're written by Idle Thumbs. You. That's why.
He could have been publishing those. Idle Thumbs could have had content, but Jake also sold out and is being paid money. So it's all about money, I'm afraid. Oh, and you're stuck with these fucking terrible podcasts.
Yeah.
With no direction.
There's a horrible silence come over us as we realise it's actually true.
Yeah. So, whilst we're talking about console pricing just before that, I've seen two or three reports now of people quoting $200 as the price for Wii.
That's good.
I mean, the first was Scott Steinberg.
Sega of America's VP, he's kind of like the...
He said, bet on the Wii, what? Selling less than $200? I think he said that.
He said bet on it being less than $200.
And then I saw someone else, but some random analyst, so I think $200 is the price we're going to be looking at.
Yeah, that's ridiculous, because that means in the UK that would be about £100, which is currently... I think it's only about £30 more than the GameCube.
But I bet they just go, $200, or that's €200, that's £200. I mean, that's what they usually do. But it'll probably be about £150, I guess.
Yeah, really. Between like £100.
Pounds are meaningless for like 90% of our readership.
For a console. So
what did you say, Mike?
Oh, that pounds are meaningless for probably 90% of
our
viewers.
Yeah, but ironically, 90% of
it's
the staff.
It's kind of funny that you're...
So for the staff, it's going to cost you £150. The rest of you, €200. Or $200.
Nice.
Yeah.
So
and you should buy things in pounds.
I have...
Anyway.
I have an observation that may be really obvious, but... It seems to me that after E3, and I had this this feeling before E3, but E3 has confirmed it, is that instead of the next generation of consoles being really boring, they're actually really interesting, and it's going to be a great new generation. And there's a couple of reasons for it. And one interesting reason is that sort of gaming heritage, the old style games, they're sort of getting a second life through Xbox Live Arcade, Sony's download service, and I don't know what that's called yet, but whatever. And the virtual console. What?
Sony Live or something, probably.
Yeah, probably.
Sony Virtual Live.
Well, not Sony Live, because that's going to be a ripoff of Xbox Live, but yeah. Another thing is indie gaming is going to get a real boost out of Xbox Live Arcade, because they announced 100 indie developers for that. And another great thing is episodic gaming, and I know a lot of people don't like episodic gaming, but... there's going to be episodic content for GTA now, which is a big deal.
GTA?
If GTA, yes, on Xbox, when GTA 4 comes out, there's going to be episodic content released on Xbox Live for it. And that's a huge thing, because if GTA pushes episodic content, it's going to warm up a lot of people to the idea of it. And the reason I like episodic content is that it's, well, firstly, it's a new nice form of gaming. It's sort of a short form of gaming, like a novella or like a TV episode, you know what I mean? So it broadens the medium. But also, it's really good for smaller developers who want to put some creativity in their game, but, you know, don't want to take a huge risk. They can try it out first and, you know, just improve incrementally, and that's
right. But you can also make the start of a game like a bit of a game, and then you sell it, and then with the money you get for that, it enables you to pay the wages of the people who are going to make the next part of the game. It's not like you have to pay
exactly
40
you don't need
for
a
4 years.
Of...
You can just
yeah.
You know,
You don't need like a lot of venture capital to just get your company staffed or anything.
Yeah.
You know, you can start small.
You can just get out there,
that's
sell the content, and
a
then
huge thing.
But also, even for larger, I mean, that's great. Like it extends the shelf life of even a huge game. I mean, it's great. Like you when you complete a game, sometimes you wish, hell, you know, why I wish there was more. And now there can be more. Like that's awesome. Like that should have been something with Xbox Live that was more. I don't know, more apparent and more widely used, but now I guess everyone's going to use that. That leads me on to something that I read about the Wii, actually, which is that Kinect 24 thing. Someone was mentioning, I don't know how true this is actually, I haven't been able to research it, that it would be able to download a demo on from your to the Wii and then onto your DS.
Yeah,
and it would work in a kind of podcast style. So I think it was Iwata said it, like, you could then go to work and you have a new game demo to play. Like, where's normally you'd have a new podcast?
It was Miyamoto who was actually talking about the connectivity between the two. And he was even suggesting that, you know, you could download content from the Wii, mess around with it on the DS, and then upload it back to the console. And he also mentioned that you'd be able to even use DS's touchscreen and microphone functions to play Wii games. So, yeah.
That is really interesting. Yeah. You know what? One of the consequences of that is that games can be promoted in a whole new way now, because you don't really need a trailer to convince people, but if you show a demo that's been beamed to them, has been pushed to them, and they think it's really cool, then that's really a new way of marketing games.
Right.
And Peter Moore said that when they put up the Fight Night demo on Xbox Live, the pre-orders for that game actually increased by 5 times. So that's really interesting, actually, because Fight Night isn't, you know, it's a boxing game. People aren't really, you know, warming up to that idea usually. But it's a really cool boxing game, and it's really, really awesome looking. So I guess that when the demo got released, a lot of people realized how good it looked and pre-ordered it. So that's really an interesting.
Right, I mean,
new...
it excites me in a way. Like, you're going to play demos more than you will. Like, if you have to choose to go and download them, perhaps you'd miss out on, you know, 1 in 5. But if you just pushed them, or if it literally, you know, if it pushed it onto your DS, and like a podcast, you're going to listen to the podcast on your way to work, or when you're home, or at work even. But if you had a demo just waiting for you, you're going to play it. You know.
Yeah, exactly.
9 times out of 10. So, I don't know. Basically, today is the last day of E3, and I don't think anything major is really going to be announced. I mean, everyone's been watching video after video. I've been watching, you know, there's been loads of stuff I've been watching. I mean, Loco Roco, Quake Wars, random things that, you know, but I don't really want to talk about them all too much. But I guess some more videos may appear, some more screenshots. But then for the next few days, opinions, articles, there'll be galleries of people taking screenshots. Hey, maybe even Jake or Doug will write something. I'm going for Doug.
So
Doug is the only one not perverted by money so far. If we can get through before Shaq does, maybe we'll get an opinion.
So how do you feel about E3 in general, like just looking back already?
I think that I wish I was there. I think that it was a huge success for Nintendo and also probably Microsoft, and then a semi-failure for Sony. Like, I don't know, finding anything that isn't Nintendo right now news-related is fairly hard. You can find it, like PC, Xbox, or Sony. Like, it's there, but it's nowhere near as prominent as any Wii stuff. Like,
yeah, I agree.
And you're
I agree. I think Sony... I don't know... I said in the previous podcast that I was looking forward to response from, you know, playable demos from Sony's, you know, Sony's exclusive titles, and I've not really heard much back from that. Nothing that's really interested me. A lot of the titles that Sony are showing off, I think there's only like a dozen, if that. They're all quite mature themed. You know, there's not like a broad spectrum there. Obviously, it's still early days, but as Bass says, it's not a failure. I don't think you can really talk about stuff like failure and success at this point. It's just way too early. But it's not been impressive, for sure. I'm looking forward to hearing more about the Wii and about Xbox Live and Arcade, especially like stuff like Lumines, which I'm a big fan of. It's like my favorite game on PSP, so I'm looking forward to hearing about that.
You know what? To me, it feels like gaming is exciting again. It's a lot better than 2 or 3 years ago. It's sort of, I don't have, of course, a lot of facts to back that up, but it's, you know, it's sort of the hunch that I have right now that, you know, things are better than they were a couple of years ago.
Yeah, it's almost.
Do you agree with that?
It's almost like the start of a new wave, wouldn't you say?
Yeah. And you're weird. That's an interesting metaphor.
That's an interesting, where have I
heard
yeah.
that before?
nice. Yeah, I mean, this is something, obviously, Marek and I were referring to an article that Funds wrote a few months back, which kind of talks about what we're talking about now, how we feel about this next generation, or this new generation, as it is now. It's really exciting. It's going to be interesting to see how it pans out. Beth? Spaff, who's disappeared.
Where is Spaff? Spaff is gone.
I'm not gone.
Oh, okay. You ignored us then.
No.
You're eating your mini donuts. Oh, you're eating those donuts from Sainsbury's.
I don't have any donuts.
Oh, okay.
I've run out of booze, though, and I'm tempted to get some. But anyway, no. For those of you sick of E3, which I am almost already, there has actually been non-E3 things occurring, and then the first one that happened was the Sin episodes has become unlocked on Steam. So anyone,
I've been playing that.
You have?
Yeah, it's okay.
Awesome. What's it like?
It's got some nice touches in there, but it's really the level design are quite boring. The levels themselves.
Did you play Sin 1?
No, I didn't. But I've down.
From
got
like 98 or whatever.
No, I did the pre-order thing on Steam, and I've got Sin 1, but I haven't actually played it.
Yeah, whatever. It was fun at the time. I want to get that game anyway.
It's okay. It's got some nice touches. There's bits where you can shoot these guys with jetpacks and they go flying all over the place. That's pretty cool.
Classic.
It's kind of standard. If you like FPS genre, you'll like it, but it's nothing that'll blow you away.
Cool. The other thing that happened is Castlevania. Well, this is actually pre-E3, but they released the fifth episode in their second season. The new Castlevania, which is always good. Castlevania.com. It has John Gacy returns, and they review. They've got Oblivion on there. I can't remember what else, but I do remember though is at the credits you get a lovely montage of Reggie having anal sex with Jay Allard whilst Kutaragi filmed it.
Is this the sequel to the thing they had before, where? Reggie said what he was going to do with Allard.
Kind of.
They had that previous episode.
You have to see it. Yeah, it's Reggie playing guitar outside Jay Allard's window, like playing him a lovely ballad, and then Allard's ballad. Sorry, and then
did they actually use real footage of them?
No,
or what?
No.
Or is
well,
like
you have to see
them
it.
Playing.
You have to
right.
see it.
Okay.
Worth it. You also have the return of the.
I will download it.
Return of the bosses. End of level boss and mid level sub boss have a new episode. but also, to finish with this, was something I read in The Guardian, which is probably on The Guardian Games blog as well, which is actually a good blog. It was something I was unaware of, and I bet you are too. Did you know that your Xbox 360 outputs an XML RSS feed?
Was that a question?
Did you know that?
No, I didn't know that.
Yeah, so apparently it does, and it's a bit like a Sainsbury's or like a supermarket like Advantage card where it records exactly what you do. So it outputs this feed, and then Microsoft can read it, and it tells them exactly what you're doing. You know, in, what games you play, for how long, which levels are popular, what people download, what else they use their 360 for, what music they listen to, all that kind of crap. But
that really sounds like a topic for Boing Boing, which is the privacy blog, basically. I'm looking at it, and they don't have that on it yet, so it will probably appear there within.
Well,
like,
no, but this is
days.
The spin on that, which is awesome. There's a website called 360, like 360, you know, the numbers voice.com, and what they do is if you put your details in, then it reads your RSS feed, well, your XML feed from your 360, and it turns it into a blog written by your 360 about you. So if you head there, and it's like, it's really fucking weird, but I really like it. So it has like, you know, say Ben and X 360 blog, which Ben, I demand you go and make one of these in a minute, because you're the only person that has one. But then I'll have entries like.
I don't have my free.
Damn. Well, it has things that it's like. Well, no one's playing with me. I'm sitting here. Like, they personify. Yeah, put human emotions into it. So it's like,
that's
I'm sitting
cool.
here. I'm not doing anything. And then it's like, well, today he came and played Halo on me for like 5 hours, and then afterwards I was bored. So I listened to like, I don't know, Seal or. U2 for like 2.5 minutes. Things like that. It's really, really weird. So anyway, if you have a 360, or if you're bored and you want to read a blog written by a 360, go to 360voice.com, and it's pretty funny. And they want Microsoft to make the RSS feed bigger than it currently is, and they want it to output more data because they want the blogs, they want the Xboxes to access the friends list and then leave comments on each other's pages, so it's like a self-autonomous live journal. So anyway, I guess other than non-E3, that's it. Nothing else has been happening.
I want to hear some more John Kimball, to be honest.
You really do?
Yes.
Who is your daddy, and what does he do?
And what does he do?
How are you? Nice to meet you. Come on, don't bullshit.
All right.
You son of a bitch.
Can you say goodbye?
Goodbye.